Good evening. Can you hear me? Good. It's a good thing. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here tonight. Like Pastor said, my name is Kevin Phillips. I have the privilege of representing Shepherd's College in Union Grove, Wisconsin. Who knows where Union Grove is? I know one person does. At least one, two, three, four. Okay, the church this morning, zero. So for those who don't know where Union Grove, Wisconsin is, it's an hour north of Chicago, about 45 minutes south of Milwaukee, pretty much on a straight line. So I'm from Florida. So what am I doing in Wisconsin? I have no idea. But the winters are a lot of fun, and I'm getting used to them, and so there we have it. But thank you, Pastor, for having me here tonight and for coordinating this with Pastor Mike over at Bethlehem Christian Union. It's a beautiful day here in Ohio, right? Right? Hey, well, any storms coming? Any storms coming? No? Maybe. Hopefully I beat him back. Well, before I get started with Shepherd's presentation, I just want to share a couple verses from Isaiah. The reason I do this is because I have a family of friends of ours. They suddenly found themselves in a mess and going through trials. They didn't realize it was coming. It wasn't expected. And sometimes we end up that way. We wake up one day, we got the tiger by the tail, and things are going great, and something happens, and it just throws us in a different way. And even when we know it's coming, it's still hard. So our friends, they came over to Hungary. We were missionaries in Hungary prior to coming to Shepherd's. And this couple and another couple came over to Hungary, and we got a privilege of meeting them, giving them a tour of the city and what we do, what we were doing in the ministry there. About 4 days ago, he suddenly just had a heart attack and didn't make it. And so Connie and their kids are just now in the middle of it, you know, trying to make sense of it all. And so there's a passage that Isaiah 43, it's something that's important to me as well, because a few years ago I went through something that I didn't expect, and that was heart surgery. And this was a passage that really kind of helped me in that time. So it begins at verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called thee by name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And he reiterates it in verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. So like I said, I don't know where, you walk into a church, I've never been to in my life, I don't know any of you. I've met one person, a few at the table, and pastor. I don't know what you're going through, but know that the Lord God is with you. He has redeemed you, he has called you by name. So whatever it is, whatever you're going through, whatever you have friends facing, just know that that is true. It was true in Isaiah's day, and it's true today. I just wanted to open with that because I was just thinking about that family this morning and just what they're going through and unexpected. And so just wanted to open with that. And then I'll have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the privilege of representing such a wonderful ministry at Shepherd's College. Thank you for the impact they're having on lives and families of those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Thank you for churches like this who come alongside us and help us in the mission by partnering with us in prayer and financial support. Bless them and their work here and for their efforts that they reach their community here in Bryan, Ohio. So thank you, Father, for loving us and for the opportunity to just share and be casual tonight and just talk about Shepherd's and let them know what's going on. And so be with us as we continue this service. In Christ's name, amen. So I'm going to move some of your stuff, Pastor. Is it okay? I'm not sure what you need later or what, but I'll get lost in some of this. So like for the 30,000 foot view of what Shepherd's is, if you don't know, if you never heard of the college, it is a post-secondary Christian college for young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. That's a mouthful. I won't test you at all on that later, but just know that it's a special place, reaching special people and giving them hope and dreams. And so before I dive into it, I'm going to read one more passage from Psalm 139. It's a familiar passage. I want you to think about this passage as we kind of go through what you're going to hear about Shepherd's, what you're going to see in the videos later, and just know that this is what we're all about. And so Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than sand, than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee." That passage is another one. You know, you find in the different seasons of your life, things, passages in Scripture just jump off the page at you. And that passage meant a lot to me 18 years ago with the birth of our second daughter. We didn't know she was going to have Down syndrome. We weren't thinking about it. We weren't in that mode at all. And suddenly we're thrust into the world of disability. But when they were unperfect, by the community standard, they're perfect in the eyes of God. And so that's the basis I want you to think about, that passage. As you see these students, you hear about what we're doing, what God is doing, think about how He created them, and they're fearfully and wonderfully made from the very way they look, the way they talk, the way they think, the way they act, whatever they do, they are fearfully and wonderfully made in the eyes of God. So hopefully tonight, by the end of this presentation, I'm going to answer a few questions for you. I'm going to answer why we do what we do. I'm going to answer a question, hopefully, what we do, and then how you can be part of what God is doing. And I'm going to hit all these things at a very high level for time. So I have a table out in the foyer if you want to ask any specific questions. Maybe at the end we'll have time for a few. But I'm going to hit all these on a very high level, so just know that, because there's a lot of nuts and bolts I could get into. But I don't really have the time for that. So part of what we do, or why we do, I like to start there, is as a church, I think you should be very excited about the first component of the why. And that's because we're a kingdom-minded ministry. Our students do not sign a statement of faith. In the application process, they check off many boxes to be able to come to Shepherd's College, but if you're a Christian, it's not one of them. And that's okay, because it's a mission field. So we have the privilege every year of having students come to Shepherd's who come from a church like this. And they have a story of faith. They have a relationship with Jesus. And we get a chance to walk that journey with them and disciple them and bring them along in that faith journey. On the other side of that coin, just like people that walk through the doors of this church, not everyone is a Christian that comes to Shepherd's College. And so we have the responsibility to be a witness, to live our lives in such a way that they see Christ, and that they have an opportunity to find a relationship with their Creator, the one who created them fearfully and wonderfully made. And so every year, your investment into what this ministry does has an impact eternally, because every year we have kids get saved. Valentine's Day this year, one of our girls got saved. So thank you for being part of that kingdom work. And what you're doing, so part of the why is just we want to be a light. We want to show them Jesus, give them education along the way. So that's part of the one part of the why. The other part of the why is the population itself. Depending on what statistic or what story you read and how that article or that statistic or that survey defines the disability, you're going to see a different number. One of them that I read or saw was that there are 6.5 million people in the U.S. In the U.S. alone, affected by disability. As I've already disclosed, we're part of that number, my wife and I and her sister. We are part of that 6.5 million who are affected by disability. And so as you probably know, there is a message out there that families like ours hear. One part of that message is this, and there's many statements I could share. But one is the lives of your kids who have intellectual developmental disabilities or IDD, cognitive delays, whatever, their lives don't matter. To that point, my wife was once asked, if you knew your daughter was going to have Down syndrome, here's another why. Why didn't you just abort her? That's the message we hear. It's getting better. It's not there yet. It's a lot better than it used to be. But it's part of the message, this population and their families here. Another message is education is for their sisters, their brothers. It takes too many resources to put on a school like Shepherd's College. It takes too many, you know, too many foundations to write grant to receive grants from. You know, it takes, you know, we can put our money somewhere else. But they want to go to college just like their brothers and sisters. So we give them an opportunity. Another part of the message is your kids, our kids, sometimes are just invisible. They're just not seen. I took our daughter to a camp one year. Well, not a camp, it's like a summer program. The first day I was there, I stayed and did some work while they were doing it. And the instructor said to the class, it was all about her age, I want the boys to select a girl, for the next activity. So I lifted my head from my computer, from my email, and I looked around, and I saw every boy, not out of meanness, they just need to be educated like everybody else, but I saw every boy walk around her as if she was invisible. It breaks your heart. It's part of the message, though, that we're hearing. So this is where the why of Shepherd steps in. We want to change the message. We want to tell them that we believe that they are created on purpose and for a purpose. That's the first principle out of four in our philosophy at Shepherd. Everyone from this pulpit to the back of this church is created on purpose and for a purpose. And we want also to let them know that they are seen. We do believe in them. We believe that they have abilities. Embedded in the word disability is the word ability. And as shepherds, we want to focus on that. We want to let them know that we believe that they have these abilities that God has given them and help them discover and to maximize every single one of them. Are all of them going to go off and be rocket scientists? No. But they have many abilities, and we want to let them know that we believe in them. We see them, and they are accepted as shepherds regardless of what their IEP or their doctor says. Most importantly, we want them to know that God loves them. As I read in Psalm 139, He created them. You know, Jeremiah says, I have a plan for you. God has plans for these students. We don't know what it is. We have no idea. But we want them to know that they have a God who loves them and has a plan and a design for their lives. And so that's just part of that why we want to change the message. So that when they leave Shepherd's, I can stay here all day long. I can go on a street corner and talk about disability and how you should include students like my daughter and our students in what they do and what you're doing. And it's just sometimes going to be a sounding cymbal. But when they go out of Shepherd's, get jobs in the community, show value, show worth, they are the ones who are going to knock down the walls. They are the ones who are going to change the writing, the message, and we want to help facilitate that, and that's part of the why. The what flows out of our mission statement. It reads, because people with intellectual disabilities have unrealized God-given potential, Shepherd's College provides a uniquely designed learning environment for our students to discover and to maximize that potential so that they are empowered to live a fulfilling life. You know, the reality is each year, thousands of students leave their high school or their transition program, and their parents and them sit there and wonder, what's next? What's next? How do I prod them along to get them to do the things that I know they can do? I've seen them do in my house and in their school, but now school has ended. The state programs of transition have ended. What do we do next? Shepherd's College believes that for some of these students, and we're not the only answer, we are not the only option, we are a good option, we are a good answer, but we're not the only one. We believe that that is an option for some of these students, and we want to make that available to them. And what we found, and what we have found time and time again, is that when you put a student like this, or anybody really, in an environment that is designed specifically for them, they thrive. They excel. They find that they can do this. I got stories I could tell you, but I don't have time, that they can do this. I'll share one. I stay overnight two nights a week in second-year housing as a kind of a second deal. It's not my main job, but they need help in student life. And so 2 years ago, I was staying, and this kid kid, student, adult, he was trying to tie a garbage bag because they have chores. They have all kinds of things they have to learn how to live. And he couldn't. Every time he tie it, pull it, it would just open up. Have you done that? I've done it. And so I said, I walked over and said, okay, let me show you how to do it. So I tied it, I flipped around, made the bunny ears, tucked the thing, pulled it, right? And he's like, great, thank you. I'm like, no. That was the example. I untied it. Now you're going to do it. And so he did it. 2 days later, I came in. I did every other night, or two nights a week. He said, Mr. Phillips, guess what? I go, what? He goes, I tied the bag by myself. He high-fived me. It was all great. I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. And so it's just what we want to do. We want to instill this confidence in them. And so we put them in that environment. They thrive. So for what we do as an academic institution is we do things in threes. I'm not sure if that was by design or for people like me who makes it easier to remember. But we do things in threes. It's a three-year program. They come, they have one, two, three, and the program is done for them. They don't stay there. They can come back and forth if they want to for a different major, but that's not the norm. So it's a three-year program. It's a Christian college. It's accredited. It's residential. And it's not affiliated with any other college. We are our own entity. It's interesting. That's the uniqueness of us. Because I was at the National Down Syndrome Congress Convention 3 years ago in Pittsburgh, exhibiting for shepherds. And for the first time, it's the largest convention of the year for Down syndrome. Over 3,500 people, I think, came through the exhibit hall. They set aside 2 hours for a college fair. Never done it before because so many programs are coming together to do this. And they were 27, and they were good programs. We were the only one that had those four distinctions: Christian, accredited, residential, and not affiliated with another college. That's pretty unique. So there's other programs that do this to some degree, but not as holistically as we do. And so that's the uniqueness of Shepherd. So we do the three-year program. We have three majors. They can major in two of them together don't make a word: horticulture, culinary arts, and technology. And so at the end of their first semester, they declare their major, and then they spend a lot of time in those core classes. And apart from that, they're going to do classes like, you know, all their Bible classes and the different classes we take as a Christian college. They're also going to do employment readiness. We're going to teach them how to write a resume. We're going to teach them how to interview for a job. We have a mock job fair every year on campus where they interview as if they're getting a job. These are great skills for anybody. You know, I've talked to parents of neurotypical kids, but I wish they had that in my kids' high school and college. You know, you guys here, you ever done that? You done that? Okay, good. Making sure. But they teach them how to apply for jobs and how to get jobs. And so then they do their other courses, you know, just like personal professional development, money management, those types of things. So they get a very holistic education. So those are the three majors, three-year program, three majors. And then the residential program I mentioned, they start in a dorm, they progress to a hall, and they progress from there to a two-person apartment. Each one has an increased level of independence and an increased level of responsibility. So at the end, in that two-person apartment, no staff member stays overnight in the apartment with them. They are there. They have to budget. They have to figure out who's going to cook, who's going to clean, what they need for shopping, as if they were living with a roommate post-college. So we want to get them to that point where they can do that. We have an 83% job placement of our graduates. The national average for this population is 24%. And so praise God for that. And hopefully COVID doesn't mess that up because we couldn't employ some of them, obviously, this last year. And so that's kind of the academic side of what we do. The other side of what we do is very special to me. At least to me it is. If you see my display table out there, if you pick up any brochures, you'll probably see the four words: finding hope, fulfilling dreams. That is our tagline. It really illustrates and nails down what we really do for families. Because these families often think there is no hope. They were thrust into the world of disability, had no idea, still have no idea, I'm thinking to myself, of what we're doing. And you think you have an older daughter who, you know, goes off to college and does all this stuff and gets married, and you think, where is that for the one behind her? Hope. We help them find hope. Then we look to the dream side of it. You know, our oldest daughter wanted to be a physical trainer. She wanted to do exercise science. She wanted to you know, she loves body movement and that stuff. So she had a dream. You know, these kids have dreams too. Bree, what do you want to do at Shepherd's? Culinary art. She wants to cook. She loves cooking. I joke with her because I always say, Bree, you have to cook. It's work. It's not just going to a restaurant and eating. And so we all have to get past that. But that's what she wants to do. They have dreams. She's our foodie. She loves being in the kitchen. She loves, you know, that type of thing. So the hope and the dreams is what we try to do. And so I have two videos. They're short videos that really kind of do it better than I'm doing. One is the finding hope side, and one is the fulfilling dream side. So if we can, we're going to try this, right? Okay.
Mike, congratulate you on being accepted to Shepherd's College. We look forward to working with you throughout the program and beyond.
We would like to congratulate you.
Congratulate you
on being accepted to Shepherd's College.
Oh, I got it! I got it! Yes!
Congratulations, honey.
I would like to graduate and you're beating application to Shepherd's College. So basically, I'm going.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you? Are you happy?
Yeah, I am.
So what are you gonna do?
Hey, I'm gonna go to college.
Parents started doing that. They would send us clips of their kid, their student reading that letter. And I remember when our oldest daughter got her a letter from Taylor, and she was reading it, she's all excited. And to see these kids have that same, maybe even more excitement, it just moves me. I know the context is being accepted to college. That's pretty evident. But from a parent perspective of a child with IDD, these students, like our daughter, as in that camp where she was looking for a partner, they crave and they seek and they fight for acceptance. We want these kids to know that we accept them. As I said before, just as they are. They don't have to master disability. They don't have to pretend they don't have autism. They don't have to pretend they don't have Down syndrome. They don't have to, none of that. They can just come as they are. Whether they believe in God or not, they can come how He created them. And we can just be part of that. And you are part of that as a partner with this ministry. So that's the finding hope side. The other side of that is the dream side. And so I'm going to try to figure out how to get to this next video.
Parents and families, we know this has been a long haul. We all would agree we are seeing lives changed. We are recapturing the educational roots that we had, training young people to be able to live more independently.
Well, your graduation today from Shepherd's College is just the beginning of God using your unique gifts to serve Him in amazing ways at home, at work, at church, and your community.
For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Always remember everything we have been taught about God and about being independent. Congratulations, class of 2017, we did it.
Graduates, turn your tassel.
I started at Shepherd's in March of 2018. Like I said, we moved over here from Budapest, Hungary, to take this job at Shepherd's, which I don't even consider a job. It's just a lot of fun. So June was my first graduation experience. That's a couple years old, that graduation. But I sat there for the first time in that gym, and I watched these kids walk across the platform, getting their certificate, turning their tassel. And you can probably figure out it's kind of a mess, thinking that I never thought that was a possibility. And here we are, you know, 2 years away from our daughter starting college at Shepherd's College, and then 5 years away from, or 4 years away from her turning her tassel and getting her certificate at Shepherd's. And so it's dreams. These kids have dreams. Dreams of going to college. Dreams of learning a trade. Dreams of getting a job. Getting an apartment, maybe. Who knows what their dreams are. We want to just be part of it. So that's the dreams side of it. And so a couple questions then. Is it worth it, what we're doing? Is it worth your investment into what we're doing? I want to read a story. It's from a mom of one of our graduates from 2014. His name is Joe, and he graduated from Shepherd's in 2014. Prior to that, Joe struggled immensely through his entire K-12 education. His mother expressed her fears about his future during that stage of life. She told me he could have easily become a statistic. Another young man with autism, just capable enough to get out of the system, but end up homeless or in jail. His story at Shepherd's began in quite an extraordinary way. An individual from his local church in Nebraska became aware of Shepherd's College. Mindful of Joe's needs, he passed along the information to his family. They were in no place financially to afford Shepherd's. So this man took it upon himself to raise the funds from within his church community. They collected enough in pledges to cover Joe's full cost to attend Shepherd's for all 3 years. Joe is an intelligent and capable student, but prior to arriving and while a student at Shepherd's, he regularly experienced significant meltdowns. His challenges were primarily social and or related to executive function. He grew tremendously over his 3 years, and he graduated. I don't think anyone, Joe's parents, the man from his church community, or Shepherd's staff, could have envisioned how much Joe would grow and how important Joe's development was going to be for his future. Joe was able to get his own apartment and a job, but much more would be required of him. His father was diagnosed with dementia and was already experiencing significant cognitive decline while Joe was attending Shepherd's. It got to the point at times where he didn't even know Joe. He's been in supported living residential home for some time now due to his level of need for care. Joe's mother has experienced a series of setbacks as well, from a car accident to multiple surgeries as well as other health challenges, and she now requires significant morning and evening care. Joe moved out of his apartment and back in with his mother to take care of her. His mom told me today that if it wasn't for Joe, she'd have been moved to a supported living home. She said that Joe diligently cares for all her needs every day, faithfully and without complaint. It's not just food and chores. He's been trained to take care of her daily medical needs. She can't believe the man he's become and couldn't have expressed more gratitude for the impact of Shepherd's on his life. Joe was furloughed when the pandemic hit, but was called back to work as soon as they reopened. His mom said he continues to go to that church every Sunday. And if his typical ride can't pick him up, he has a list of people he just calls until he gets a ride. Often the impact of our work, and I would say even the work of this church, is not evident sometimes until 5, 10, maybe 15 years down the road. In this case, the investment made in him from 2011 to 14 not only mattered for his own well-being, but for his mother's as well. It's about changing someone's trajectory. A small change in trajectory at one point leads to a massive shift in direction further down the line. Joe learned to care for himself and others. And all that began with the generosity of a church in Nebraska and the diligent work of a passionate and committed group of staff at Shepherd's College. We have the best staff ever. So, back to the question, is it worth it what we're doing, what you're doing, by making this part of your missions program? Absolutely. That's just one example. The video you're going to see next, the last one that closes, you're going to see a couple in there, and I can tell you stories about them. And if you want to ask, I'll tell you at the table. But I don't want to take too much of your time because we want to not go to midnight, right? He said, got the okay. I've got the okay, you know. Have a lock-in. Make lock-ins great again, right? So we'll go from there. That's a video I saw. Sorry. All right, so that's the why, the what, and now the how. The first how you can be part of what God's doing, you know, I should back up. Who knows Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God, that book study? He once said, watch where God is at work and join him in his work. We put the program on. God is doing the work. And so join him in some of these ways, maybe. The first is pray. I have a prayer card on the table out there. It's blue. On the back side, there's 10 items that you can pray for pretty much every school year. They're static. They're not going to change much. We have things that come up all the time. You know, this week's fire is this, or this week's fire is that. But if you want to know those fires, you can take my card and email me, and I'll tell you when they come up, and you can help put them out with prayer. But that's a prayer card you can take, and please do take it, put it somewhere you can remember Shepherd, because we can't do this like this church can't do what you do without prayer. So that's the first part of how you can be involved. The second is tour. Now, we've just opened up tours. Now, we're 4.5 hours west of you. You pick up an hour going that direction, so come on over and see us if you want, between August and June, if you ever want to do a tour, because that's when the students are there. And believe me, it's just much more entertaining when they're there, because you never know what's going to come out of their mouth when they meet you in the hallway. So it's a lot of fun. But it will change you. It will take what I've said and whatever, you know, wherever I hit you on this presentation, it'll twice that, visiting campus. So I invite you to come tour. We have a tour on our website if you want to do it virtually. It's cheating, but that's okay. You can do it. I'll let you, because it is a 4.5 hour drive. But that's one. Pray, tour, share. You know, every time I come to a church, people ask me, what's your role at Shepherd's? Well, my role, just because some person has asked tonight. You've asked, right, Penny? I'm an advancement officer. That's an academic word for donor relations, donor development, church relations. I raise money. I give updates like this, that type of thing. I travel. Inevitably, at my table, I turn into a recruiter because someone knows someone with disability. And they say, well, what can I give them for Shepherd's? So share what you've heard tonight if you think it might impact the life of someone with disability. We would love to talk to them. There's a brochure on the table I can show you. It's got the information for our recruiters on the back. If you know, it takes a lot to run Shepherd's, you know, with staff. It's very staff intensive. It's very financially intensive. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's not, you know, your ability, but maybe you know someone who loves this type of ministry and they can help financially support Shepherd's. Tell them about that and let God do what he wants with that. But share in some way what we're doing. The church as a whole invests already. Thank you for that. We're grateful for that. Pastor did give me permission to share one particular need that we have at Shepherd's right now. When COVID hit, you know, like everybody, it just kind of threw everybody off axis, right? We didn't know where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to run things. So right out of the gate at COVID, March 2020, we had to send our students home. Along with that ride back to their house, $250,000 went out of our budget that we weren't anticipating because they weren't going to be on campus. We can't charge them for room and board. So right out of the gate, $250,000 went out. Other things happened. The total impact of COVID was $600,000. Praise God, all of that has come in. So we are so grateful for the faithfulness of God's people to cover $600,000 in COVID impact. In doing so, we had to divert fundraising efforts from our scholarship fund. You know, students, we want to make money the last reason they don't come. So if there's a way that they can come, if they've exhausted every resource they have and through our financial aid and various things, and they still don't have all the dime, we will internally scholarship them. So we did that for 54 of our 87 students this past school year. That total of internal scholarship was $548,000, almost equal COVID. We are right now sitting at about $146,000 of that has come in. So we are behind in that because of COVID. So on the table out there is an envelope and a letter that explains that, what I just told you. If you're interested, if God has led you in some way to help with that, pick up this. It'll explain it in the letter. You can send it in. And I'll be grateful for that. So that's the areas of how. Pray, tour, share, and invest. I want to leave a few minutes for questions. Anybody have any questions that I did not answer? If I don't know the answer, Pastor will answer them. He sings, plays the piano. He can do it, I'm sure. Anything? Yes?
Is there
an age limit? Yeah. I'll start at the bottom side. They can come right after high school as long as they have a certificate of completion or a diploma. It doesn't matter to us what they have. Where it matters is if they are going to apply, because we're an accredited program, they can apply, the families can apply for FAFSA, like our oldest daughter did. But if they have a certificate, they can't. So it doesn't matter what they have, but they have to have one of the two for us. So they can come right at 18. Most states, if not all, have a transition program, which is a state program, part of the school system. Our daughter's going to do 1 year of that. It's free to the parents and families and resources. And so most of our students come to us at 21, because most states are 3 years. Michigan, I think, is 7. It's hard to get a student out of Michigan, because why come and pay when they can, for 7 years, stay at home? And so that's the age on the bottom side. 18, they can come right out of high school. Average is 21. No age on the upside. It'll get sometimes precarious if you have a 50-year-old son with Down syndrome, and now he suddenly wants a room with a 21-year-old. You know, even though there's cognitively, you know, lower than either age, that's where the families have to make that decision on the upside. Is it too late? Is it too gone beyond what they want to do? We had a girl 2 years ago come for her first year, missionary kid from Norway. That's a long way from home. 36 years old. She did great. Now, she didn't finish the third year because of COVID. I hope she comes back to finish, because she was a real gem on campus. But we'll see. But there's no upside, really, age. So that's kind of how that works. Any other question? We may have to sing a song again, then, maybe. Well, let me tell you a couple things on the table, then. This is our magazine. It's very well done. Very informative. Lots of interesting stories about just different things. It's about twice a year. If you would like to take one, as long as I have them out here, you can take it. If they run out and you would like to get it, there's a sign-up sheet. You can put your name, physical address, and we will put you on the list to get it. It's very well done. If my daughter gets a hold of this magazine, she will turn you to page 18, because that's an article I wrote for her and I. And so she will probably point you to that article at some point, but I'd beat you to it. So there. She's a little shy. Also on the table, I mentioned the prayer card. So that's there. That's what it looks like. This is the brochure that if you have a family you know that has disability, it's going to be a very good overview summary. The numbers and emails on the back go right to our recruiters so they can answer those nuts and bolts questions about that. And then there's some other brochures back there. There's a paper that looks like the scholarship thing, but it's no envelope. It's just I like putting it out as parent testimonies. You know, I can tell you all day long what we do, but to hear from the parents how it impacted their kid, their son, their daughter, I have a list of just some of the things that they've written, and I find it very interesting from that perspective. So one more chance. Any questions? Oh, we have a latecomer.
What is your census there as far as students go? What's your
total? Okay. How many students? Yeah, I'll give you a little history. We started in 2008 with 5 and about 10 staff, maybe 20 staff or whatever. This past school year, I don't know what the number is going to be this coming fall, But last, the one that just finished, we had 84 on campus.
What is the average cost for a student for room, board, tuition?
Yeah, everything.
All
yeah, it's around 49,000. Yeah. And it's quite, like I said, it's quite intense. We have people here all day long, 24/7, different phases of the school. They have the academic side, then you have the residential side. That's where they learn in their dorms, their homes, in their apartments. That's where they learn how to socially get along, how to do chores, how to manage time, how to manage expectations, and how to get along with people. So we have staff that stay there right after school till the next morning. And so it's quite labor intensive, and so it's, I think it's around 49 this year. Yeah. So if I wait, I get another question. Anything else? Oh, in the back.
Did you say that 83% when they get out of college get jobs?
Yeah, because we're an accredited program, one of our check boxes is job placement in the major that they, in culinary, in horticulture and technology. The accreditation board, their number for us is 70. We have to hit 70 and maintain it across the three majors. The year before COVID, 83% was what we were averaging. I don't know what the next time they evaluate those numbers are going to be, because we had most of our students couldn't work because nobody was hiring people anyway. So, but yeah, right before COVID, it was 83%. Yeah, which is, I think, is pretty remarkable number. Oh, here.
Do you have any students that are accepted that have homeschooling and got a certificate through the different homeschooling?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I know that we've had kids that have been homeschooled. So I'm going to be just totally honest. That's one of those recruiter questions. I will know the next time I go to a church, though. But I know that we had kids that come from homeschooling environments, so I'm sure there's something that they work with, because otherwise they get something from a homeschool. Because our daughters were both homeschooled but never through, 12th grade, so I don't know what they would have gotten. But I would venture to say that that's not something that is a declining factor, that they're homeschooled. Because the only two things I know that will immediately kind of postpone them coming to Shepherd's, or you can't come to Shepherd's, is one is if they cannot take care of themselves, bathe, clothe, that we are not equipped for that. They have to be able to self-sufficient to do that. The other is if they have behavioral issues, because we're not equipped for that as well. So now, do we always catch those in the admissions? Sometimes we admit students and that happens, and they find out there's some strong behavioral issues that come out, and we have to address that. So those are the only two things I know that immediately disqualify. So I would venture to say that homeschool is not one of them. And so I just don't know the intricate details of that. I will next time.
As far as government health, completely, you don't have any of that,
yeah? Yeah, my wife works for Shepherd's also, and we write grants for foundations, but they're only to private foundations. So we don't apply for any federal funding. And that, well, people will say, well, did you get the what's the acronym, PPE money or whatever, that type of thing for the COVID? We did get that only after we verified through the bank, because one of our board members is the bank president in town. And he verified that there is no federal strings attached to that. You can, as long as you keep your employees, you get the money. And it really helped us save the day for our staff throughout the summer. That'd be the only federal money we would have seen, but there are no strings attached. We don't have to abide by anything for it, just a numbers thing. But no, to answer your question, it's all private foundations, private funding, and individuals, churches. Well, I mean, they're gonna work within their abilities. Obviously, they're not gonna go off and run a Fortune 500 company or anything like that. They're gonna work in their abilities, and they're regular jobs. What we strive to do is not. Let me back up. Before COVID, every third-year student would spend Monday through Thursday in, they used to call them field experiences, now they're going to call them occupational experiences, where they would work in a local business in their major. So, you know, in a restaurant, in a grocery store, or something, in a bakery, you know, culinary arts and various things. And then oftentimes that company would hire them. And so they are getting, they're not going out and getting just, you know, dishwashing jobs. They're getting jobs where they are actually required to do what they're doing within their abilities, obviously. And so, yeah, we strive. We have a person now that's their full-time job at Shepherd's is placement after graduates. And so they work to get them jobs in their field. Obviously, that helps meet our criteria and jobs, you know, that it's going to give them value and worth, you know. Well, I mean, you know, they're not going, like I said, they're not going to get high-paying jobs, you know. That's just not the way the businesses are working, you know. But they are getting the ability to live. Now, some of them live at home and then still more confident, more independent, and they go out and they get their jobs. Some of them live in town in Union Grove. They stay there. They get jobs. They can do an apartment, and they can do their groceries and do their things. So they're getting sufficient to live. You know, I don't know how much extra they have in their budget every year, every month, but they are getting, you know, jobs that they can function, they can have their value, they can live. Now, these students also carry with them, you know, SSI or Social Security Index, which is offset by what they make. So that also helps facilitate their income. Like right now, our daughter, just because she's K-18, she gets SSI every month. And that's, they can go for anything she wants it to. You know, so when they're living in an apartment on their own, that's part that's going to go towards housing, you know, and that type of thing. So that will supplement what they're making employment-wise and wages-wise. Yeah. I hope that answers your question. I don't know all the details of every single one, but yeah. Scanning one more time. Okay, I think that's it. I'll be out there, you know, and I don't leave till tomorrow, so if you have any questions, I can talk to you. What? Oh, yes, thank you. That's twice now. I've forgotten that. So I said at the very beginning, thank you, and that's from me. It's much better when you hear it from them.
When I came from high school and I came here, I was scared and nervous. But soon when I look around, I know I'm going to do great here, and I know I want to do what I want to do in my life. It feels like a home, like what God's like, open the gate, it's like welcome to heaven. I never give up on my faith, and He's always shown me the great path and everything. You just make new friends and enjoy this college, because it is college. Welcome to Shepherd's College. The dreams comes true, and the future comes to you.
Before I came here, I was in a public high school, not believing a lot. Pretty much I have more friends here than I did in high school. Because they're more like me. A lot of people that I went to school with weren't special ed like I am. The staff is really nice, and so are friends. And I'm in culinary, so I like working with food. We make a lot of cookies and a lot of cupcakes. Thank you for making this experience possible.
My school experience before I came to Shepherd's was nice and all, but I felt like I didn't fit in because of my disability. I felt like I was alone because I felt like I was the only one that had a learning disability. What's different here at Shepherd's is I found a place where I belong because there's people just like me who has the same disability as me. We have like the same story to tell, and I felt that was really cool that I have friends just like me who gets me. It's like my home here. Because, like, not only I have friends who care about me, their staff, like, all the staff cares about you. You're not being isolated with people. You can be around each other because we're also a community. I want to say thank you for those people who built this place, who brought me an opportunity for me to come here. Thank you for welcoming me into this lovely environment at the school, that I felt welcome here, felt this place where I belong. I don't know what I'll do without Shepherd's. This is like a home to me.
My dad he asked me, how would you feel if you wanted to come to college? After a few weeks, I made my decision and I wanted to go to Shepherd's. Shepherd's is a friendly environment. and it helps us strive to be more independent, be the man that I want to become and make my father proud. My life would probably be a little bit more difficult because if I wouldn't have come here, I wouldn't become more closer to God. Thank you for your donations, and thank you for just making Shepherd's possible for families and people to come here. I came here and I think I felt more at home. I made a decision to come here, and that's how it all started.
I apologize for the glitchiness of that. I'm not sure what that's technology. But thank you again for having me here tonight. Thank you for what you do for us. And if you have any questions, like I said, I'll be out here. And
thank you, Brother Phillips. Great presentation tonight. He shared the passage in Psalm 139 where the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible tells us that we were made for His good pleasure. We were made for God's good pleasure. What does the word pleasure mean? It means purpose. And that's exactly what Brother Phillips had said. We are created for a purpose. You know the greatest purpose God created us for? It was to know Him. To know Him as Savior. To be born again. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the gospel message is so simple that a child can understand it. We are thankful for those at Shepherd's who come to know Christ as Savior and those that knew Christ as Savior as they come into the college. But tonight, do you know Christ as your Savior? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, would you stand with me, please? And as the invitation song is played tonight, if you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have never accepted Him, you have never come to the point where you recognized yourself as a sinner, and you have called upon the Savior who died on Calvary's cross for you and shed His blood and arose from the grave. Tonight's the night to do that.